Hi, all. These are generally conversations between adults after the children have left the table. The language can be spicy and the subjects can get saucy. So if you're ready, you are listening to The Southern Fork, a podcast that hosts kitchen chats with some of the most interesting people in the culinary South. I'm your host, Stephanie Burt, and I'm always hungry to learn more. Let's dig in. This season, The Southern Fork is presented in part by Smithy Ironware. I first met Smithy craftsman and owner Isaac Morton more than a year ago when I had him as a guest on this show. And since then, we've worked together on some recipe projects using cast iron. Well, in all that fun work, I scored a Smithy 12-inch skillet for home use. And I can tell you, it's fast becoming one of the most beloved tools in my kitchen. I've had other cast iron skillets before. Y'all know I like a good thrift store find, but in my opinion, what sets Smithy skillets apart is the balanced weight and smooth surface. Sure, cleaning cast iron is something to get used to, but once you get a few things down pat, I promise if you're a cook, you'll reach for this skillet more and more. In fact, Smithy Ironware comes in two sizes, a 10-inch and a 12-inch, but even in my tiny Charleston kitchen, I keep the skillet right on the stove since I use it so much. From Cuban pork chops to Saturday bacon to some super delicious roasted broccoli in the oven, I love cooking with my Smithy. Visit smithyironware.com to learn more about these highly crafted skillets. And I'm sure you'll see me tag them every so often in my Instagram feed as well. They're pretty photogenic to boot. Now, it's time for some award-winning whole hog barbecue talk. Can you smell the smoke? There was a time when how good Rodney Scott's family barbecue was pretty much a local secret. Unless you were lucky enough to meet him at a food event or lived in Hemingway, South Carolina, you probably didn't know about him. That is, unless you were the kind of people who road trip for good food. So yeah, you and me. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, you'll drive for good food, right? Anyway, the chorus of praises for this barbecue pitmaster have been steadily rising, and word began to get out in a big way, including on TV with Anthony Bourdain and Andrew Zimmern. Then, Rodney fulfilled his dream of opening a restaurant of his own last year in Charleston. As for the food, it's simple perfection, made with love, as he continually preaches. His smile can light up a room, too, and on Monday evening, he proved that when he stood on stage in Chicago to accept the James Beard Award for Best Chef Southeast. A few days before he jetted off to those awards, I caught up with him at his restaurant to learn what he's learned in the last year. In true Southern Fork style, we ended up recording in the cab of his truck in the parking lot. Anytime he's in the building, he's either working or people are literally standing in line to talk to him. So outside is where we found some time and quiet. Welcome to the Southern Fort, Rodney Scott.
Glad to be here.
Well, I would like to welcome you to a special Southern Fort club, and that is there are only three people that have recorded inside vehicles, and now you're number three. So let's do a shout out.
Shout out to the vehicle.
Yeah, let's. So first, let's shout out to Manit and Ian. Hey, Manit. Hey, Manit. Ian.
How y'all doing?
Ian sat in a car outside of Terra Vita in Chapel Hill, and I made him sit in the back seat because it was my Kia, uh-huh. And it was hot. So he immediately started sweating. Manit, I picked her up on the side of the road in my Kia, mm-hmm. And we drove into the parking deck during Charleston Wine and Food, and she trusted me to just pick her up and drive her somewhere.
Wow.
And today, we're not in the Kia. We're in
the GMC Sierra.
That's right. And this is your baby. We're in the truck outside your restaurant. I can hear Beat It by Michael Jackson playing over the sound system.
Yeah, always a little funk, a little old school playing.
Yes. So this is the truck that you take on the road. So about how many, obviously, when you go to Australia, you cannot take the truck.
No, that bridge's not finished yet.
But when you drive around the country, say you're going to go to Texas, I think you just, did you cook in Austin?
I just finished cooking in Austin.
Yes. So let's talk about Austin. You have to drive there?
Austin, I didn't drive.
Okay.
We built a cinder block pit in Austin.
Okay.
For the event that I did there.
Okay. So you have to build something or you have to drag something with you.
All the time.
Okay.
All the time.
So when you get ready for an event that's off-site, you know, talk to me about the prep. Like, how does the pig get there, and how many people do you bring with you, and how many days do you have to go ahead of time?
Well, when we do a job off-site, first we try to find out how many people we have to feed. That'll determine how many hogs we need. So if we say, for example, need two hogs, we'll take two of them, load them into this big old 350 Yeti, and close it down, ice it down.
Hey, Yeti. Let's sponsor the Southern Fork, okay? Shout out to Yeti.
Shout out to Yeti. Yeti has been a lifesaver for me when traveling on the road. Mm-hmm. The 350 holds at least two hogs at 150 to 160 pounds comfortably. And, of course, we load up the small rig if it's two hogs, and we load up the big rig if we have more than four.
Wow.
So we pull them as far as New York and Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all across the southeast.
And how long ahead of time do you have to get there? Because, you know, like, obviously it's not 4 days for four hogs. You can do four at the same time.
Yeah.
But how many hours before gates open or event starts do you have to be on the ground already cooking? So the thing is built.
I prefer to be there 24 hours ahead of time so we can make any other last-minute preparations.
Mm-hmm.
But I need at least 18 hours minimum
mm-hmm.
to get myself together, find out where I'm sleeping, kind of find out where my product is if I'm not bringing it myself, and then kind of get all set up.
Well, and, you know, people don't think about this, but you can't stay in historic areas. You can't stay in downtown Charleston. You can't park the rig.
You can't. You got to find a lot of remote places or somebody's
campground.
Personal backyard.
Yeah.
You got to find somewhere that's allowed because a lot of people say, no, you can't make a fire here.
Right. Of course. And you can't park that rig here. You can't park in the metered parking.
I heard it all the time. All the time.
And you're like, I'm just going to be here for a few minutes.
Give me 12 hours and I'll be right back out.
Okay, well, congratulations on a year.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the James Beard.
Thank you.
Are you excited?
I'm very excited about the James Beard.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a big week. Now, this is going to come out afterwards, so obviously we're going to talk about that either way. So this is an interesting award because it's based on geography, not style of cooking.
True.
So you are nominated, and it's not apples to oranges. So you're nominated against somebody doing fine dining, somebody
exactly.
doing farm to table, and then your pit master. How does that feel? That's pretty fun, right?
Man, the feeling is unbelievable. You know, it's indescribable.
How did you find out?
Wow, I found out through a text message at mm-hmm. first. Then I got a phone call from Nick
mm-hmm.
congratulating me. And I'm like, yeah,
Nick of Jim and Nix.
Nick of Jim and Nix.
That's right.
A very good friend of mine.
Mentor,
friend, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, father figure. He's an amazing dude. And when he called me, he was laughing. So I'm like, Nick's pulling my leg.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Nick, I'm in the middle of trying to open up for the day. I'll talk mm-hmm. to you in a minute. And I got another phone call. John T. Edge congratulating mm-hmm. me. And I got another phone call from Sam Jones. And I'm like,
brother from another mother.
That's my
brother from another mother.
Sam Jones, everybody.
Sam Jones.
he got on the phone with me and we talked about it. And we were just happy to make the list. We didn't care who went any further. We were just excited to be nominated.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, when you go to a location that you haven't been before, it's a wonderful tool for diners to check and see. Anybody that's been on that list is going to be amazing.
Exactly.
Even if they didn't make the short list or they didn't get the final nod, that's a great way to like look for great restaurants in a city that you're not used to.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So, Chicago, did you get custom boots made?
Didn't get custom boots made. I am waiting on a tuxedo.
He loves the custom boots, well, Southern Fork listeners.
Custom boots, custom shoes. I'm a secret clothes lover. I like clothing. You may see me mostly in t-shirts and jeans, but I like clothes.
Do you have dedicated, now you have the Rodney Scott shirt. You wear that every day?
Every day.
Every day. And you're here a lot.
I am guilty. Yeah, I am here at least 5 days a week, and the days I'm supposed to be off, I'm here at least 2-3 hours. Just that excitement of having your own restaurant, wanting to make sure that everything is right, and wanting to be here to know that it's hands-on running.
Well, you grew up in a restaurant. You grew up in a barbecue restaurant.
Yes, I did.
You grew up working the pits. This is your own place, and I knew it, you know, when... It took a long time for you to decide to do this.
It did. It did. It took about 6 years.
And then it took a long time for you to find the right spot and then to build it out or to retrofit it. This was a retrofit spot.
Perfect spot.
But pits are, you know, pits are always going to be custom.
Ooh, pits had to be custom.
Didn't you go with Gorilla Fabrication?
Gorilla Fabrications built my pits, yes.
Yeah, super cool. Yeah, how are they? Now, they're seasoned now. It's a year in.
Oh, yeah.
And the restaurant's seasoned. And I think you're starting to be a seasoned restaurant owner. It's very different than owning, you know, a family restaurant in Hemingway, South Carolina. There had to have been some surprises along the way.
A lot of surprises.
Tell me about a couple of them.
One was, of course, building codes. You had to get through that. And you had to take what you did out in the open air in the country and bring it into the city to fit where it wasn't a threat to the surrounding buildings or the surrounding residents. And we made those
adjustments. Because you grew up in the country, so that didn't really matter.
Yeah, we started a fire and we walked away because there was nowhere for it to go.
Right.
But here, you got to respect the property line because it's a lot closer and a lot, you know, more condensed than out in the country. So we made those adjustments. We had to learn that quickly. Of course, everybody knows I like to party.
This is true.
Music is my thing. We had to make sure that our speakers weren't too loud for the neighborhood. So I immediately met with some of the neighbors that came out and told them, hey, if it's too loud, please call me.
It's definitely, this was something I know before you opened that was really, really important to you.
Yes.
It was important that you have outdoor and indoor speakers.
Very important.
Why?
Because I want you to have that feel when you walk up the sidewalk. Get that feel of fun, and you got that Rodney Scott's experience of this is what he listens to all the time. This is the energy that he likes to have around him. You're about to walk in here and hopefully taste some of the best that he can give you and share a fun experience all at the same time. Dance if you want. Eat and dance. Just eat and bob your head. Whatever you want. As long as I gave you a fun experience when you visited me.
Do you still make all the playlists?
I make some of the playlists now. Boulder is my GM. He'll pick out whether or not we listen to the Gap Band today or the Earth, Wind & Fire or the Ray Parker radio. You know, we listen to the 70s, 80s funk.
Okay. So is it a Spotify custom station?
It is really a Pandora mood station for business.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
So we got to be legit. We got to respect the laws. You know.
Right. Right. Very true. Very true. So speakers. Okay. What else have you learned?
I've also learned how to deal with more guests. In Hemingway, we only had 13 seats, plus whatever people that sat outside and they carried their own food. So I had to learn the fast casual theme of taking the customer's order, giving them a number and serving them, busting their tables, making sure that they're all comfortable in between. I had to learn that real quickly.
Right.
Which I enjoy. Because I enjoy saying hello to people and letting them experience what I grew up eating. Another thing that I had to learn real quickly is garbage.
Garbage. That's something I didn't think about that.
We dumped our own garbage in Hemingway. So here, you had to have your garbage on the curb a certain time, and you had to have it off the curb a certain time.
And in Charleston, you have to do it a lot.
Yes.
Because Charleston, like, in the city itself, on the peninsula specifically, you have multiple days a week of trash pickup.
Yes.
Because the peninsula is small and it's surrounded by water and the streets are narrow.
Yes, they are.
So, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, the garbage was a big adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Something we had to learn. Consistency, one of the most important things in any restaurant, any style of cooking. The consistency we had to learn through creating recipes for the food that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
Where mama threw in a pinch, we had to make sure that we have a cup of this.
Because your sides are just as important. We're sitting here right here.
Yes.
I can look at all of the items and we're going to talk about a few of them.
Oh,
your
man.
Favorites. But that's really true because your mom's not cooking.
My mom is not cooking.
It's you.
It's me.
So, have you added and tweaked any of those recipes?
A little bit of tweaking here and there.
Do we need to talk about that? Would mama get mad?
No, mom won't get mad.
Okay.
Mom came by and tasted everything back in February and said she loves it.
Good, good. So, what do you feel like? Let's talk about the sides. What's like that side where you're, I gotta get it?
Wow. That one side that you gotta get. The mac and cheese, of course. It's not the original recipe that my mom made, but it is so good. It's not the original idea that I had, but I tried it, and I was like, yes.
Okay, and then you knew.
This is the mac and cheese.
Now, it is so important that we are in the tradition of Southern barbecue restaurant, pulled pork barbecue restaurants.
Yes.
So there is, in a way, some menu guidelines.
Exactly, yes.
You need to have white bread.
Gotta have white bread.
Right. You gotta maybe have cornbread, but gotta have sliced white bread. My dad called it light bread.
That's what a lot of people in the South
call light bread.
Light bread.
I want a piece of light bread with that. Yep. And there, to me, that's what goes with barbecue. And then also banana pudding.
Banana pudding is a must.
If you go to a barbecue restaurant and they don't have banana pudding.
Ooh. Somebody's grandma didn't come by. Grandma didn't stop by.
Yeah, so, you know, and it's got to be the right banana pudding. It can't be an afterthought. We know you're stuffed. We know you had. We're going to force that down, too.
Yes.
We're going to make sure you eat that as well. So let's get to the main attraction, and obviously that's the pulled pork.
Yes.
The whole hog barbecue. Now, you used to go clear people's fields, and when there was a thunderstorm, go with the chainsaw.
Yep.
And chop wood from Florence to Hemingway and back all again there. All over
yes,
there.
Yes, yes.
All in the PD.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't do that anymore.
I don't do it anymore. I don't have that kind of time to go get wood anymore.
Right.
But I have found a source that cuts wood exactly the way that we do.
Okay.
He had the exact same setups. And I saw his wood yard, and I was like, this guy's genuine.
So it is not, it starts with how you, not just the kind of wood, which is probably oak.
Yes, right. Definitely oak.
I kind of knew that. I was just like, that was a softball moment. But it's about the cut. So what are you looking for?
I like the oak and the hickory wood in a blend.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of pecan whenever I can get some. Mm-hmm. And the reason I like the oak is because of the heat, and it gives it a distinct flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody expects the hickory flavor, but when you got the oak kind of in there, it's a unique twist.
Mm-hmm. And we use oak in bourbon barrels. Those are oak, white oak, usually bourbon, whiskey barrels. So that flavor is familiar to people.
That's very familiar.
Southern thing. Now, for home cooks, do you think those like wood chips are kind of silly?
Not necessarily, because when you're burning down wood, it takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have the wood chips and it's like a backyard thing and you're doing a small piece of protein, it's perfect.
Do you think it actually imparts flavor beyond just the smoke?
Depending on the size of the protein that they're cooking.
Okay, and the chip size.
The chips, exactly.
So there's a lot of rationing there.
There's a difference. And I remember doing a little backyard barbecue with some friends and they had chips. And I threw in the little oak chips and let them get hot. And, of course, the burgers did have a little better flavor.
Yeah.
It worked.
Okay, good. Rodney Scott says, it's not a shame to use the wood chips.
Use the chips.
He probably still won't come to your barbecue or your backyard grilling. But
I'll show up.
You never know. So, whole hog barbecue. How many hogs do you serve a week here? It's not 13 seats.
It's not 13 seats. We average right now about 12 to 15 hogs a week.
And you get them from one supplier or
one
variety?
Supplier. Same supplier I had in Hemingway.
Oh, okay.
Hemingway Locker. Uh-huh. They right. deliver to me several times a week, and they're the only people that I've dealt with. They come when you call.
That's great.
So we yeah. have established a relationship that's been perfect for that.
Good. Good. And then there's not just that protein. That's the big thing. Now, I know the ribs took off.
Oh, my God. The ribs.
That people started just staying in line for the ribs. And I was like, what? Because, I mean, I'm toward the sandwich moment, yeah. you know. But the ribs became the big hit.
The ribs became a big hit, surprisingly.
Yeah. You
know, we were averaging anywhere from 60 to 80 racks
mm-hmm.
a day. And it's amazing how so many people have fell in love with our ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Recently in Austin, we did 250 racks in a four-hour period.
Wow. Yeah. And what were you in Austin cooking for?
We're cooking for the Austin Wine and Food event, mm-hmm. or Food and Wine. And it was done over in Austin, Texas. We did the Saturday event,
mm-hmm.
which...
And you cooked with other?
We cook with other chefs. We cook with Miguel Vidal of Valentina's.
Mm-hmm.
I said it right, Miguel, Valentina's. he was there. Billy Durney, Elliot Moss was there. It was just a lot of great chefs there. Mm-hmm. Amy from out of Boston.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's a lot of us.
But now you're here. Then you're going to
tomorrow, Birmingham,
and then Chicago?
Then California.
Oh, my gosh, Rodney.
Then from California back to Chicago.
Straight to Chicago or home?
Straight to Chicago.
Okay. And then you'll be Chicago for a couple days?
Chicago for a couple days.
Okay.
And finally back home, and then over to Mississippi.
Okay. Oxford?
Oxford.
There is Mississippi, and then there's Oxford.
Oxford. Oh, yeah. Big difference.
Okay, so we have a new menu item.
Yes.
Are you copying Sam Jones? Because he has this menu item.
Really? Not intentionally copying Sam Jones.
Okay.
I think
he does, unless...
Which menu item are we talking
turkey?
About? Turkey, yes. We had a lot of intentions of adding turkey.
Okay.
We finally did it.
Okay, so turkey is the first big new thing.
Turkey is first. We've added wings.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try
wings.
These.
We do the jumbo
these.
Wings.
Mm-hmm.
Where you've added a chicken salad.
Wow, smoked chicken salad?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because the smoked chicken was a big side business for Rodney Scott back in the day in Hemingway.
Oh, yeah.
People would do some ordering.
And then we're still working on a salad. We want to get on the menu for mm-hmm. all the people that doesn't want to eat a heavy meal or eat a heavy meal late. So
mm-hmm.
that's when we said we'd go ahead and add a salad to the menu.
Got it. So adding new menus, traveling a lot.
Yes.
Are you feeling stable? Like this was a big like pop the umbrella up, right?
Yes.
It was just like boom, boom, boom.
Yes, it was real quick. It
okay.
was it was game changer.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big game changer from what I was used to.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling stable? No. I won't feel stable. I refuse to feel stable. My thing is to stay there and stay on it and make sure that it's consistent, it's mm-hmm. good, and it's what I would deliver personally.
Now, everybody in Charleston, everybody countrywide, nationwide, has experienced labor shortage. Are you
yes.
having that trouble too?
Definitely. We've went through quite a few people in the city. Some people show up and they're great workers.
Mm-hmm.
They may work a day or two and then they disappear. We had one guy work 2 hours.
And then he went to the bathroom and then he just never came back.
Thank in and out.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
And, you know, I guess that's the way of the labor board.
Right. The,
well,
labor,
the labor
pool right
pool
now.
Around
yeah.
here in Charleston and wherever in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody says the same thing. Labor is crazy. And me being new to the city, I'm used to doing a lot of things myself. So it's
right.
like, hey, you can't work? Okay. Sorry it didn't work out. Thank you.
Right.
On to the next one.
Well, do you have incentives? Do they get like... half a pound a week or anything?
Well, we make sure they get a little discount on their meals.
Okay,
you know,
good.
Nothing too big. They got to work towards it.
Okay,
you know?
Good.
I mean,
good.
But where else? I tell them all the time, this is the greatest show on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And my plan is to have two lines, one waiting for food, the other one for employment. This is one of the best places to work.
So about What time of day do you get here in the morning?
I try to show up between 8:39, and then I'm usually out of here sometimes around 5 or 6.
Because you're not open late.
No, we close at 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's on the back burner right now to whether or not we're going to stay open a little longer. I try to work normal hours. There's some days I'm here before we open, and I'll stay here until like 8 or 9. But my managers advise me to take a break, you know, go home, go home, go home.
How do you train? You can't touch the pits all day, every day. That is, and it's hard to even for you to explain. I've seen, y'all, ladies and gentlemen, Rodney has been on TV more than Giada, really. You watch it, it's always awesome. There's all kinds of, just Google it. There's all kinds. He needs his own YouTube channel at this point. But, and you say the same thing. It's pork, it's vinegar, it's spices.
Yes.
It's love.
A lot of love.
And it's a lot of tending. When you go to an event, it's 18 hours of tending.
Yes, at least.
And this is the same.
Yeah. You got to be there. You got to be hands-on and to train somebody to do it.
So it's almost like Jedi training. Almost. So how do you know who's going to be the new Jedi, the new student?
You got to watch them from the corner. Don't let them know you're watching them, but you got to pay attention. The guys that I have now, they're learning, and I watch them all from a distance. And it's almost to a point now that I can tell who's in the pits when I show up.
Really?
Yes.
They have their little signs, their little tells.
Their signs of who's in the pit and what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Because you can smell it.
Really?
Exactly. You can smell it. You know, there's one guy every now and again, we got to tell him, slow down. It's a little too hot. Mm-hmm. There's another guy who understands everything and is doing a great job. Another guy, he's doing a great job, but he moves a little too slow, but he's very meticulous and he's good. Mm-hmm. So, but still yet you keep that eye on that they don't get into a complacent mode to where they're just doing what they want to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I show up and I watch, I don't interrupt their rhythm. But I make sure the product comes out consistently.
And there's a rhythm.
Definitely a rhythm.
Let's talk about let's wrap up with the rhythm.
The rhythm.
The rhythm of the whole hog. Talk to me about that. What is it like? It's time to turn it. You see it. What does that rhythm happen?
That rhythm of the whole hog finishing up. Once you flip it, one guy used to close the pit down, and I'm like, no sir. You just left that baby unattended. Mm-hmm. I said, you got to flip it. You got to go immediately into seasoning it, mopping it, making sure it's nice and hot so all the flavors can go through it. Mm-hmm. You don't flip it and wait a while.
How many times do you flip it over the time?
One flip, which is around the finish. Mm-hmm. And when you flip at that finish, you go to work immediately. Mm-hmm. You can't say, I'll do it in a minute. Oh, 5 minutes out. No, sir. So that's the most important part of the rhythm that I have to instill into my pit masters. Mm-hmm. Flip it and jump right on it.
Because you got to get that seasoning through the meat before the skin gets too crispy.
Yeah.
Because you want it crisp.
But you don't want it too crispy.
Don't want it too crispy.
It can taste burnt if you leave it too crispy.
And it's really easy to burn because the skin has the layer of fat underneath, and there's still going to be a layer even though it's cooked. So that fat's going to drip down faster.
Real fast.
And flare-ups.
Yes.
Flame-ups.
You don't want that.
Right.
You don't want it.
Mops. Do they all have their own mops?
Pretty much. Everybody pretty much has their own mop. Own two mops, because we have one for the chicken, then we have one for the pork.
And do they ever use your mops?
They don't touch my mops. My mops are personally bought. If you don't believe me, run the surveillance from the local Walmart. You'll see that I am picking up my own mops regularly.
And they are mops.
They are mops.
Definitely they are mops from Walmart. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't touch Rodney Scott's mops.
Don't touch my mops.
If people want to learn more about Rodney Scott Barbecue and the awesome stuff happening on Upper King Street here in Charleston, South Carolina, you can go to thesouthernfork.com. We're going to have links there to the restaurant, also some images so you can see the restaurant, the whole hog, Rodney and not his custom suit. I'll be definitely keeping up. I will not be at the Beards, but I will be cheering from here. It is like watching a really bad feed of the Oscars, like unedited, but it's wonderful. I love it. And I will have some sparkling and watch everybody win.
Thank you.
If you want more stories like this, the best way to get them is to subscribe to the Southern Fork. It's free. It's already on your phone if you have an iPhone, and at least 50% of us do. Please rate, review, and tell friends. These people are cooking your food, and they have stories to tell. They go to Walmart. They buy mops.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We drive GMCs.
They drive GMCs and use Yeti.
Yes.
Thanks so much for chatting with me on a crazy week.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to The Southern Fork. I can't wait to bring you more culinary conversations, but in the meantime, I have one question. Are you going to eat all that?